MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Read XQ. Roger, over.
Really excited today to be joined by Ron Friedman, who has agreed to join us here and talk about Military Creator Con, talk about his company, and talk about AI in kind of quite a bit of depth that I'm excited to get into. So, Ron, first of all, I wanted to say hello and thank you for your time today.
Hey, James. Glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
I want to start kind of a little bit. You know, I was fortunate to get to meet you. A friend of mine is a mutual connection and friend of yours as well, Jamie J. Can you tell us just a little bit about, I know you live in Seattle now and you've been in tech for quite a while. Could you just tell us, you know, why, how long you lived in Seattle, why Seattle, and how you got into tech?
Well, it's a funny question, but I actually moved up from Los Angeles about 10 years ago, and my wife and I decided to move up here for the weather. It was getting more moderate up here and getting blistering hot in LA. But that seems to change every few years. But we're happy up here and enjoy it. We have two huskies. So tell
that's interesting because that I always hear, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone moves from Southern California to Seattle because of the weather. I think that's the first time I've heard that and that you said it's moderate. So that is interesting. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, it's never very rarely harsh weather. It's a little bit gray in the wintertime, but can't beat it in the summer.
And tell me, Ron, where did tech come from? How did you get into tech? What was that path? What did you do before tech and kind of what led you to that?
I've been in a commodity space, promotional products industry, and was manufacturing a product line that needed some distinction. It needed some category design. So basically layering in some tech was part of that first path to add some cutting edge technology at the time, which was a couple decades ago, was, you know, adding some QR codes and some interactive capabilities to the products.
So if you mentioned promotional material, and when I hear that, I kind of think promotions, I think marketing. You have more, were you kind of a marketer at some point or in the marketing space, or you just kind of interested in that kind of thing? So how did even the promotional materials part come into play for your background?
Good question. So I guess I started in advertising sales and understanding our client's stories and really getting them to tell their stories. So finding that it's not just a product, but you're really selling stories. And from there, any product that I've been involved with, it really comes down to not what are the unique features, but what is the unique audience that's going to use the products.
And I know I'm going to try to kind of lead into AI because that's what everybody's kind of talking about right now. And tell me, like, what was the first kind of moment that you kind of looked at that with your advertising background to be like, oh, this is cool where it's going. I can kind of see how some of this fits and some kind of maybe some of that integration path for you.
Well, before AI and when AR was just hitting the scenes, we added an augmented reality layer to our product, and it had a lot of, it was the shiny bright object at the time. From there, with VR, we did a large product with a global printing company for office printers, and basically did a VR experience where it was telling the story of the product. So it was really getting beyond selling products, but telling stories and getting immersive with the product and for the audience, for their target market.
And I think that probably has come a long way then from when you first kind of saw that opportunity to use the tools of kind of emerging technologies to be able to kind of do that better. And I know I think of it from, I did tech or IT in the military from when we were imagining what it would be like to talk to someone, you know, on video, what that would look like, you know, in your mind, you try to imagine that and then what it ends up being kind of is, way you can't almost imagine what it ends up being. So kind of based on that, if that makes sense, like what was that like realization or as you kind of saw that evolve, what was that evolution like for you?
Well, one of the first projects with AI was they were looking for an augmented reality solution. It was a large tech company and they were looking for a campaign to support their conference that was in Las Vegas, and AI was just starting to make some headlines, and we integrated AI into a physical 3D product. The product is called a Magic Cube, and it hadn't been done before, where we're actually allowing and creating an environment where users can chat with a product. So it was very fidgetal, and it was trained on the company's knowledge base. So at the conference, they were tech, they were CTOs, and the goal was for them to solve a cipher, and they could actually chat with the AI and get hints if they needed it. They could also chat about the benefits of using the services of this company. They could also ask questions about gambling, and they could ask questions about what's going on in Las Vegas. So it was basically an in-hand concierge representing the company, and they gamified it within this AI experience. What was exceptional about it was that they were able to track engagement beyond the conference. It was not just at the conference engagement, but after the conference ended and people were back home all over the world, the tracking capabilities with the AI and the physical product allowed them to gain data-driven insights that previously were not capable beyond, let's say, a QR code or a link tracking.
So I know you mentioned earlier category design at the conference at Military Creator Con. We're fortunate to have Christopher Lockhead, who is kind of the pioneer, and him and his colleagues have kind of led on category design and talking about what category design is. I know you've been influenced by some of that. Can you talk to, you know, kind of before you knew that as applying it to what you were doing, and kind of before and after, what that kind of looked like for you? Because I know you had mentioned that before in some conversation we've had.
Sure. In fact, I didn't realize it was category design back then, but following Christopher, it's been an amazing experience. And looking back, the product Magic Cubes, we had been marketing it for years as a puzzle, a desktop fidget device, a kind of a poor man's Rubik's Cube, where it would unfold. And basically, at one point, I decided I was competing against all these other fidget devices. And it really wasn't that, because it has pictures all over it. It tells a story. It's interactive, almost like a PowerPoint. So basically rebranded the marketing and sold it as 3D media. And basically took the puzzle and the toy out of it and focused on targeting ad agencies, graphic designers that are stuck trying to tell their story, and giving them a physical device to do it. And 3D media became the category.
I love that. But kind of based on category design and how that really is a good fit, we're excited about that as a kind of theme to some degree at Military Creator Con this year, especially with being fortunate to have Christopher Lockhead do a workshop the day before our conference, and then also doing the fireside chat talking about some of this. So can you tell us a little bit what you're excited about coming to Military Creator Con and why you kind of wanted to be involved when you heard about what we're doing?
You know, everything that you guys are doing and starting the first workday with Christopher is, I'm just looking forward to the whole experience and getting to know the creators that are there and what their workflows are and what they stand for. It's a great environment for creators and marketers to be exploring in this time. I mean, we're so lucky to be alive in this moment of AI, and we all know that we should know that it's at the worst point right now. It's only going to get better. It changes all the time. So bringing in people into the mix and understanding where people are at, I enjoy solving problems and finding out what is the unique factor in everyone's story.
I love that. I want to give you a chance to talk about when do you have any kind of background with working with the military before, or do you have, you know, maybe any kind of close relatives, or I just want to kind of know if you have. Okay, so you do have family that were in the military space. Do you have any personal experience of you kind of at least seeing some things that the military is working on that you were able to kind of be involved with before, or have you ever, you know, I guess I'm trying to wonder if you had any kind of cool experience that relates to the military, I guess, if that makes sense.
Part of it was a few years back in terms of VR technology when that was first launched with headsets. I was very attracted to that. I can't talk about it, but my wife used to work at Boeing and she was on some very special projects. And being up here in Seattle, many friends that are submariners that, again, can't talk about it.
Yeah, I understand. And I appreciate that. I just reminded of some of my clearance level while I was in. And, you know, of course, the joke that, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So I do understand. But exactly. I wanted to go back. I love how you had mentioned, and I love that as a concept, right, that it'll never be as bad as it is now with as good as it is to me, you know, as far as AI and kind of where it's come and where we're at technology-wise for the things and the rapid growth of where we at currently. It's never been a more exciting time. For you, kind of what makes you, I don't want to go too far in the future, but like what are you the most excited for specifically in the AI space and you? You know, you're kind of what you do day to day. Like, what's your, you know, what gets you excited about that?
I think the number one thing is the capabilities for integrating everything. It's starting to happen. You're starting to see it as the major platforms are integrating it with document creation, tying in emails. I use it extensively with for meetings and transcribing meeting notes, and depending on what the use case is and what content I'm looking for, having that context is the most important. And where we're headed in the future is that this will all be connected and the AI will be proactive. So instead of treating AI as in chat as it's an assistant or you want to create something, but my philosophy right now is treating it as a co-founder, as a true partner, and to really be looking over my shoulders. I use it for technology and also for marketing purposes, but to be proactive in those steps and creating a system. Really, everything is the system. It's not just chat and then having to copy and paste out of it, but where it's going to be connected and it's trained on your use case, the purpose, your goals. From there, it will be a true partner in the business. And at one point, we're going to see that you won't be double checking it at every step as part of the human in the loop. And as we trust it and it builds, there'll be a lot of automation that will be gained from this, which is a huge time saver for everything that we repeat all the time.
If someone's coming to Military CreatorCon and they, you know, are excited about checking out AI, the AI track, and kind of learning from people like you, what's a couple of things that they can look forward to when you talk, that you'll be talking about at Military CreatorCon?
Well, the ability, I think, systematize your production. How can you systematize what you're communicating? How can you automate and get drafts created with your emails? Triaging your inbox. A lot of people treat their inbox as their project management system and really looking at what should be handled today. So where we're headed and what I'd love to talk about is how can we systematize it? How can we create a system based on these processes? And that's happening in real time now. It's been using third-party applications or middleware to get things done. And it's coming full circle where it will be a seamless experience that AI will be part of your workflow, but a lot in the background. So it's not going to be the tech first. It'll be solutions first.
Love that. Thank you, Ron. Ron, I want to ask you, what exactly do you help creators do when it comes to AI in your day-to-day?
Organize the system and to create repeatable flows. That's my number one priority. A lot of creators create one-offs, and it's important to create unique content. You don't want to create templates of your content, but with AI, with a template and AI, you can basically scale your production, whether it's writing, whether it's posting videos, creating videos. All of this content can be done at scale, and your pipeline can be filled so you can focus on strategy and not the production side.
When I say create with purpose, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's not just creating to be posting, but if your goal is to engage and get new subscribers, then the purpose would be presenting solutions and communicating with a workflow, as a campaign, not just random posting.
And how can AI amplify that, in your opinion?
Well, it's not necessarily amplifying, but I believe it's more about scalability, how you can let your processes run while you're focusing yourself, giving it your personal strategy, your personal voice. A lot of people say that, when you use AI, you lose your voice. But the way that you can train AI now, it can reflect your voice immensely. And you can always have a human in the middle to make sure that it does sound that way. But in my personal instructions, it's extensive on what it can't do and what it must do.
What's one AI misconception that you kind of hear routinely in your work, and what's the kind of what really is the truth, or what your experience says versus what the misconceptions are?
That it's doing too much and it's losing your voice. That it's really about allowing a creator to focus on what they have to say, what they have to present, what they have to share, without the processes. I think the misconception is that if you have AI do it, it's all sounding the same. But what it's doing is it's creating that process that can be automated, rather than you doing all that work or handing it off to an assistant. So the fact that small businesses, entrepreneurs can actually scale and have 5 AI assistants, allows the creator to build and not focus on all the to-do list. But the process of translating my own notes from a meeting is gone. And now, by putting everything, voice notes, emails, a request for proposal, and meetings into this basically system that's managed and triaged by AI, the output is, here's what you need to do today, here's your priorities, and here are my suggestions for a follow-up email, and here's your presentation draft outline.
To you, Sorry. What does measurable, repeatable systems mean?
Where you can automate the manual tasks as much as possible.
And what should people measure first when it comes to that?
How much time you get back in your day, and that you're not constantly looking at your inbox and what do you need to do next. So if you have a dashboard metrics to see, for example, signal intent, looking at who are the priorities that are responding to your LinkedIn post, for example. And just understanding, those are my priorities, where I don't have to be guessing what my priorities are. That AI helps you see who the priorities are and assign metrics to them.
So with AI's kind of, you had talked about it being as bad as it'll ever be right now, with this constantly getting better, what's one shift that you've experienced lately?
Biggest shifts is the ability to create your own agents. What's known as agents is that a particular role for the AI, instead of ChatGPT being your everything inbox and talk about everything, that you're assigning either projects or you're creating a custom GPT are the simplest forms, where it will take, for example, you can take your transcript, dump it into a custom GPT, and we have three of them. So there's one for existing clients, one for prospects and discovery calls, and another one for building campaigns. So each one has a unique set of instructions that when you take a similar or the same transcript from a meeting and put them into the different agents, all of a sudden you're getting, without prompting it, and just the upload, you're getting three different outputs, three different takes, and three different use cases. So it saves an enormous amount of time by having a specialized agent.
So if someone's coming to see your session, what's a takeaway that you're going to talk about that they could kind of implement in what they do maybe within the next day or two after the conference?
One quick takeaway from the conference that anyone can build immediately is creating a purposeful agent as a custom GPT, and even a very lightweight version of that could be just a dedicated project in ChatGPT. And to do this, it's basically giving it instructions for that purpose or that project and a little bit of context on what its purpose is with the instructions. And then working within that project or that GPT, you'll get output that's based on that project. So it could be what do I need to follow up with this week? Putting together a publishing plan or creating outlines from the ideas that are put into it. So it starts to create a system by just using a project. And one GPT could basically be creating content as a campaign, and with the instructions of give me five hooks, give me two outlines, I need a draft for an email, the video, and a follow-up sequence, including give me suggestions for image content that can go along with the article. By having that in one project, it's a repeatable system, and you can continue to improve it by updating the instructions and adding more context. So that's something that can be literally created within 20 minutes, and then you can iterate on it and improve it, but it's something that you can start using immediately, weekly.
Ron, last question I want to ask you is, what's one AI habit that you think compounds results over time?
One thing that I do on a regular basis is in regular ChatGPT, not a project, but we've talked, my AI assistant and I, chat throughout the week. And at the end of the week or the beginning of the next, I will ask it, where are we on all the projects from last week? And what does it think my priorities should be for this week or next week? And the content that's generated from that is amazing, because it's things I've forgotten that should have been prioritized, whether it's a big boulder or a small rock that needs to be handled. It will help construct a follow-up plan and what I need to do for that week. And it's just asking AI in the chat what it knows of what was accomplished. And it usually is, I would say, 85% accurate, and it gives me a starting point of where I need to go.
Thank you so much, Ron. I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us today. I look forward to seeing you, meeting you myself in person for the first time in just a few months from now, and then also having so many people there that can learn from your knowledge and your background. So thank you so much for your time and for your availability and for your heart for us.
James, thank you. And I am very excited to be part of MCC and hopefully be able to contribute and help creators. I look forward to meeting you as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Ron.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger, over.